Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Hello.
If I have to keep jumping off, I've got a feeling that I've got a walker, a bedtime walker, because I can hear. I put the kids to bed about 20 minutes ago because they were so knackered from school. So it was literally about 10 past six. I got them in and I was like, no, it's 7 o'clock. It's time to go to bed. Obviously, they can't tell the time yet. And I can hear Luna's already come down twice and I can hear little footsteps. So
you've got a nighttime creeper.
Forgive me, a nighttime creeper. How are you, George?
I'm all right. I'm fine. Well, I'm actually feeling a bit rough today. So I've tried to have like a bit of an easy day. Just, you know, I've got that super cold that I think everyone to have had. And yeah, just feel a bit like, bleh. But it's been quite a nice day. Just had quite a chilled day with Gigi.
She's been all right.
She's like all or nothing. I have to give her like my undivided attention and then she's lovely. Mm. If I don't, and basically she makes me pay for it.
Luna got me in like a headlock at bedtime tonight and she was right up to my face and she went, I love you so much, I'm going to cry. I was like, oh my God. I was like, don't cry. You know how intense they can be? And you're like, I love you too, but like, you can't crawl inside my soul and fucking take everything from me. Okay. So step back. I don't know. I think it's something to do with the girls. Like you said, if you don't give them, like, I can barely have a conversation. If somebody else is in the room and I'm talking and Luna's in there, every 5 seconds she'll be like that, mummy, mummy, mummy.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh my, please stop. I've seen you jump one centimetre in the air 15 times. I don't need to keep looking at you. Actually, my cousin said to me the other day that she's got a daughter and a son and they're a bit older now. But when her daughter was really young, she was like, I'm ready for you now. And she used to like perform all these shows. And then one day my cousin sat down and she went, right, are you going to perform? And she didn't have anything like prepared. And my cousin said to her, well, you haven't got anything prepared, have you? Why do you want me to look at you all the time when you haven't even prepared a show? And she could just see her daughter's like colour drain out of her face. Like, oh no, she's like, I'll never do it again.
Oh my God. Yeah, do you know what? I just think Gigi is like a massive attention seeker. So like even at dinner tonight, we're just sitting like, you know, having dinner. Axel's just got home. He like has football after school on a Monday. So it's a bit later. Haven't seen him all day. I'm talking to him about football. She just stands on the dining room table. Like, just gets out of her chair, stands on the middle of the dining room table just because I'm talking to him. Like, or puts her foot in his food.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
It's all attention.
You really want our attention, don't you? You really want it. Anyway, it's fine. How is Luna getting on at school, though?
She's loving it. It's such a lovely school and I feel like she's really settled. And every day that she's not there, like over the weekend, she's like, is it a school day today? So that's really great. But I think I've got to share this with everybody listening because I think this is probably quite relatable. I'm feeling a little bit upset tonight because I received a letter and it said that I wasn't reading enough with Luna from the reading record. And I've gone back through it. And I'm like, I think there's probably 5 or 6 days where I haven't written in the reading record since she started coming home with it. So and I read with Luna every single night. And I feel like she's in reception. She can read already, which is amazing. And we're reading with her. And there wasn't even a phone call. It was just a letter that came back. So I'm actually feeling a bit rubbish because I'm like, I don't know what more I can do. There's quite a lot of pressure on the kids already. Or maybe it's pressure on the parents. I don't know.
Yeah, it does feel like, because with that, I think Axel's school, they have to read 3 times in a week. And I think they get extra play time or something like that if they've read three times. But then that puts the pressure on you because you think, oh God, I've got to write in that reading record three times. Otherwise, he's going to miss some play time.
I have to do it every night. They have to read every night for 10 to 15 minutes.
I think that's a lot.
Like, I do.
10 to 15 minutes as well. Mm. Like that. And also, like, what about parents? You know, there'll be so many parents listening to this as well who might not get home from work until 7:30 or 8:00. And then what? Like, they just probably just want to lay down and cuddle up with their children, or just they might be asleep. Like,
yeah.
It's a lot, especially now, like nowadays, where, you know, majority, you know, of couples both work,
yep.
They're both out the house, and then the weekends are quite precious. Like, we don't necessarily want to be doing homework and like extra stuff. Also, the kids are knackered. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about all this homework and pressure to do more and more and more.
Some of these kids are four. Some of them are 4 years old. And yeah. I mean, I do understand the importance of reading outside of school. I get it. And like, because of the work that I do, you know, we're writers, we're communicators. Reading was everything to me. English was my favorite subject at school, aside from drama. And like, so I that sort of mortally wounded me because you know what I'm like with reading, with like me and you read to the kids all the time.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, if you don't, maybe it's to do with the kind of school system and where things are at the moment, in terms of like everything has to be, forgive the pun, by the book, and if you don't put it in the book then they think you're not doing it. So I guess it's just a conversation that I'm gonna have to have tomorrow. But I think also, like, let them be kids and let them just have a bit of time when they're knackered coming back from school and they've been there all day. They're long days as well if your kid's in an after school club, and then to ask them to read at the end, you know, every night, it's a lot.
Exhausted. Now, do you know what, you just, like, when you said, oh, some of the kids are four, Axel was four for the whole of reception.
Yeah.
Until he left, he was still four.
Yeah.
And had to do homework and all sorts of stuff.
Mm.
But I told you this after parents' evening. I never do Axel's maths homework. We haven't done it once the whole term. Like, not done, like, nothing.
Shout out to all the maths teachers listening, by the way. How are you?
Never logged on. Never done any of it. And look, it's almost like I didn't do it the first week, and then I thought, oh God, we're gonna have to catch up on the last weeks, and then we just fallen too far behind that we've never done it. But actually, his teacher was like, do you know what, don't worry, like, he's doing well at maths, don't worry. If he was struggling, I would tell you. Mm. You know, maybe you pick it up. But she's like, no, I want, you know, I understand weekends are precious and you want to have family time and all of that.
She sounds amazing.
You know what, it was so nice, like, really nice to hear that, because you do feel a little bit guilty when, like, the mums or dads on the WhatsApp group are like, oh, has anyone done the mathletics, have they been set anything? And I'm thinking, well, if we log on to Axel's, there's a backlog of about 50 tasks.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of my school days when there was always a letter coming back. Zoe has been mucking around in the back of the class, flicking ink on the back of Ed's jacket, or Ed's, no, and it was like always me flicking ink on Ed. I don't even know who Ed is now, but like, I was always getting into trouble. There was always a letter, and it suddenly just brings me back to all those, like, oh, I didn't know this. I didn't know the schooling experience was going to make me feel this. It's actually a really interesting topic. I'd be really interested to know if any other parents listening whose kids have just started school, first couple of years, whether they're now feeling it as well.
We should
think about a podcast on it, because I think it could be quite entertaining. Hands up, I feel like shit. Yes. But it's really interesting, because it leads us on really nicely into the conversation that we had a couple of weeks back with these two incredible women. Now one has been on our screens as an actress for a very, very long time. And we don't necessarily know her in that sort of parenting role, do we?
No, we don't. It's actually really interesting to, you know, chat to her. She's got slightly older children than we have. And it's just quite nice to kind of get an insight into how things are when they get a bit older and learning at home, and how there can still be some struggles, because some of us just think, you know, when they're like 9 or 10, they're just going to go to their rooms and do their homework and everything's going to be easy. But actually, it's not, you know, it's not always the case. But we also had an ex head teacher on as well, which is, again, really interesting, because you always want to, I don't know, I feel like head teachers can be a bit like, you know, elusive. Like you feel like you can't ask them questions. But it was nice to just have
her on.
She
was our best friend, wasn't she, by the end of it? Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, she was on our wavelength. She's not going to be sending us any notes home.
She bloody better not do. Georgia, who are we chatting to today?
Today, we are chatting to Tamsin Althway and Anna Coulson from Champion Tutor.
This is so exciting because not only do we have one amazing voice on the podcast today, but we've got a second incredible voice on the podcast. And Georgia, I'm a bit jealous because Georgia has actually been chatting to Anna already. She says that they're not, you know, they've only chatted a couple of times, but I feel there's a relationship there already. Today we are talking to the absolutely wonderful, incredible human, brilliant actress. I mean, she basically does everything. Total legend, been on our screens for many, many years. Tamsin Althway, welcome to the podcast. But also alongside her, she's teamed up with this amazing woman, Champion Tutor. You probably have heard of them, the incredible online tutoring company. Co-founder today, Anna Coulson. Welcome to the podcast.
Yay! Can I just say, we've got a Made by Mamas first, the first guest to ever turn up to record the podcast in her PJs. And I think maybe we should just do that going forward, though. I love a PJ.
Yay!
So
they're really beautiful PJs. And I should explain myself, as I said before, but that my kids have gone to their dads and so I've woken up not having to do a school run. Plan to stay in my PJs till I have to go to have a facial later.
Oh, Tamsin. Oh. You were just saying that these mornings, they just don't happen for you because you've got 40 minutes of driving in the traffic and then, you know, it's breakfast, it's teeth, it's rush, rush, rush. And this morning, calm. How do you feel?
I keep looking at myself in my PJs thinking, oh, I might just stay in these for a few days. Yeah, I feel really good. Yeah. Obviously, there's a slight missing the madness. But that will go in a few days.
Mm. And what about the lion this morning? Did no child was coming
well,
in?
Well, normally it's me that wakes them up. So my alarm didn't go off at 7 as normal. And I didn't have packed lunches to make and breakfast to do. And you know what kids are like. It's like, I don't want to eat that anymore. I suddenly don't like porridge.
Yeah, we do.
I feel like I have that every morning. In fact, this morning, Kit has the same thing for breakfast. It's either porridge or Weetabix. You may not know this, but I talk about it a lot, that my son hates fruit. He hates fruit and he hates vegetables. So I've never known anybody not to like a banana or not to like grapes. I mean, grapes are basically like Haribo, but
yeah,
in
sweets.
A round form. Oh my God. So I thought I'll just try them today. I've tried them every day for 3.5 years. And I was like, bit of banana on there. He just sat there for 20 minutes whilst all of the milk sapped up by the wheat, and he just didn't eat it. He just sat there and looked at it.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like they're testing us sometimes. I really do. But Tamsin, before we get into the chat, because, you know, we want to have a chat about Champion Tutoring and education and stuff, but you've got slightly older children than we have. Mine and Zoe's children are like 5 and 3 or 5 and 2. So what is it like to have a teenage girl? Just give us a little insight.
It's kind of, I always harp on about that thing when you, like the Harry Enfield thing where the kid wakes up at 13 and goes, ugh. They wake up and they're suddenly a teenager and they're like, ugh. And they just grunt. It didn't feel like it was overnight for me, but there's definitely an attitude that happens as a teenager, which means that they suddenly feel like they're entitled maybe to not have to engage. So separation that happens right. with a teen, where it's like, I just want to be on my own. And I think it's really important to just physically be there, to just say, I'm here. You know, if you want to go to your room, fine, but I'm here. I always have to keep reminding Flo, if you need me, I'm here. But they need their independence, so I get that. But my 9-year-old is pretty delightful. So I do feel like I'm lapping up every moment that my 9-year-old is giving me. And also the same with Flo, a 13-year-old. When they give you that time or that energy, I want to be there for it, you know, because it's rare and I'm very aware that soon they won't want to hug me. They won't want to hang out with me. They'll come back again when they're in their 20s or whatever, you know that. But there will come a time where they just don't want to hang out with you. And so I'm just like, should we watch a film? Why don't we go on our bikes? You know, trying to connect with them all the time. But sometimes they're just not interested. Yeah. But what they need to know is I'm always there and I'm not going anywhere.
I was just going to say, Anna, that you're obviously, you know, ex-head teacher and proper kind of child specialist in that area. That's the thing, isn't it?
That's a really big thing. But I think that it's a sign, ultimately, that you've done your job. And when children, you know, when they go away a little bit, but they can go back and they have that confidence, composure, they've got the communication skills to communicate with others. My co-founder's daughter at 16 has gone away to London on her own. And, you know, she was like, oh my goodness, should I let her go? Should I let her go? Absolutely. You've given her the confidence. She's phoning when she gets in the room. And, you know, it's wonderful. I love that. I love fiercely independent young children that have got spirit.
Just talk to us a little bit about how you guys met and tell us about Champion Tutor and how that came about.
Well, for me, what happened was my friend Chiara, who I call the perfect shenanigator, she's almost a PA, but not, you know, she's just a wonderful human. And she said to me, you need to, during the lockdown, my kids were struggling, as everyone's kids were. She said, I've just started bailing off with these people called Champion Tutor. The woman's lovely. And I really think you should speak to her about Flo, you know, about the antisocial situation, about getting some tutoring, building their confidence as well as being tutored. And I wasn't a very good teacher or parent during the lockdown because the homeschooling didn't, you know, I just didn't know how to actually orchestrate with them. So I got in touch with Anna because Anna was tutoring my friend's kids, and Anna just, you know, when you go, oh, that's my people, you know, it was like Anna knew exactly what needed to happen. And then Marnie had some tutoring, which was very integral to her confidence. Marnie was struggled with maths, and Anna put her with a lovely girl called Lizzie. And then I think after about four sessions, she stopped crying when she had to do maths.
Right.
I can't do the numbers. You know, it was like she was filled with confidence that she could work around a problem. And then I spoke to Flo and said, I'd love you to have some. And Flo was like, I'm more up for a bit of like therapy than actual lesson. And because Anna is so brilliant with people, Flo started using Anna as someone that she could just call when she was needing to talk about something that she couldn't talk to me about.
Okay.
It became like a bit of a lifeline in lockdown. Well, Anna became a lifeline. And then other people, friends of mine, started to use Champion Tutor, and they'd say, oh, my kids are just so much more confident about the subjects. And so it feels to me like it will be like Anna and Champion Tutor will be that, the people that I always go to when the kids have got an exam, possibly, or when the kids are struggling at school. Anyway, I'll let Anna say her side of it because that might be completely different.
She was a right pain to deal with. No, it was very natural, and the friendship's very natural. First and foremost, I think we should all give ourselves a little bit of a break. You know, I've been in education for more than 20 years, and I've got twin girls who are 8. And during lockdown, you know, it was a nightmare. And and I am mum, and I want to be mum. And to those girls, I can support them, but I'm not teacher, and I don't want to be. And that relationship, and there was a struggle, and we had so many calls and so many stressed parents and people at the end of their tether. And the relationship was almost impossible to manage because, you know, one of my girls is academically very, very good. And to challenge her, she's so wise in terms of, you know, I can give her, and I did do for a long time, a task to do. She'd always get one wrong, and then she'd say, and then I'd say, Gabriella, why have you got this wrong? She said, well, mummy, you'll give me more to do if I get them all right. You know, and it took me ages to figure that out.
Wow.
And she, you know, those sorts of challenges, she wouldn't dare do that at school. Or if she did, I'd want to know why the teacher hadn't figured it out quicker. But I think that it was such a difficult period. We are emerging from it, but there are huge gaps. And before any academics, and this is so important, if there's one thing I could say to parents, before you concentrate on the academics, no matter how bright your child is, and I've got one that is very able, the other has to work harder, as I did. I had to work really hard in school and was inspired by a teacher that changed my life. And we all think of that teacher that did that. And, you know, those sorts of skills and the underpinning of the curriculum has to come from confidence, the way you communicate, the way you feel very able to collaborate in school, and the way in which your body language, you know, I spoke to a parent yesterday who just said, my little girl puts her hand up constantly, but the kids on the table are laughing because she's not on the smartest table, so the teacher always looks past her to get an answer that's correct. And you know, kids pick these things up. And as a head teacher, when I led a trust, there were always policies in place that meant that didn't happen. Because as a teacher, you know, you're stressed. I've done it. Yeah. It's a really stressful role. But you are ultimately, the way in which a child feels will influence the rest of their life. So it's such a responsible position, and one in which I take so seriously. And now, you know, yesterday was a day of parents picking up the phone to me and Linda and asking for little tidbits of advice. I'd say now is the time when we're really feeling the repercussions of what's happened.
Well, it's really hard to know. Firstly, the whole homeschooling thing, from somebody that had to try and do it with my stepdaughter who's 8. You know, I was stuck because I wasn't particularly academic. There were certain subjects that I excelled in, you know, English and drama and sports and stuff. But when it came to the sciences and the maths, let's be honest, I just wasn't particularly engaged or particularly academic. So when my 8-year-old was sitting there in front of me going like, can we do long division together? All of my anxieties from school came out and I was like, well, fuck, how the hell do I do this?
Because yeah, can't do
they're
it.
Doing it in a different way. They're using these like, almost like these like circular kind of like, I don't know, they were like discs in different columns. And I was like, I've never seen this before. And I was like, shall we make some brownies? And then I was like, I don't even know how to do that, but I've got a packet of Betty Crocker. Like this. And so my anxieties about my failures at school came out. Then I was trying to teach my daughter. I had one child trying to do a wee up against the wall. The other child was having a tantrum in the court. The whole thing was just a mess.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a mess?
I mean, no one was thriving. No one went, I've sussed this, I'm doing this brilliantly.
We haven't heard anyone if anyone did thrive in that period, I'd love to hear from you.
And let us know how. But so, obviously, luckily, none of us are homeschooling anymore and hopefully won't. I mean, maybe some people might choose to. But if we... when do we need to do like the extra bits at home with the children, and how do you go about doing that? Because I mean, my son apparently at school is like really engaged with maths and English. If I get him home and I try and get him to do his homework, he's like, no thanks, because I'm a different person and it's a different role. But how do you encourage them to do that?
Do you not feel like now there's so much more expected of parents to guide them through? You know, I speak to my dad about when I was a kid. Obviously, my dad wouldn't even remember it, but I don't remember my mum ever sitting down with me.
No, I've had homework in primary school.
No, I'll do the rest of it. My kids are very creative. I will do all the drama, all the Lambda speeches. I'll do all the art with you.
Yeah.
I'll sit and listen to you play the piano all day long, the guitar.
Yeah,
I can't sit down and do the academia, and that's why I do my job, and I'm not an academic.
I'm the same as you. Yeah. Let's talk about the financial side of it, because obviously this is absolutely key, because lots of people listening, you know, won't have the funds to have a tutor. And so how do we kind of even start unpicking that and digesting it for people that financially aren't in the position?
That is a real struggle. And we try to, and we don't publicise this, but because, you know, you're asking the question, if a parent is really struggling and there are real gaps, we will always talk to them. But if you're not ready to pick up the phone and you want to do little things, there are lots of resources and things. I'll put together a few and put them perhaps on the Instagram page, of things you can do in short, sharp bursts. I am not an advocate for doing a lot at home, and I don't work with my children a lot because I firmly believe, and lots of head teachers would absolutely blast me for this, but I firmly believe when the children come home that I want them to be children. I want them to run around the house and yes. not make too much of a mess. But I want to cuddle them on the sofa. I want to stay with them, cherish my time with them. And, you know, I'm a single mum, and finance is really something that I've got to think about. And I think for parents, there's lots of things out there, and there's lots of things to challenge and stimulate children. But there's so much almost, you really need sort of a guideline as to for the particular age group, for the particular ability of where to look, because it can be really confusing. BBC Bite Size is great. Absolutely great. You know, and there's lots of other little things that I'll make a note of that people can certainly access. The tuition market is grown hugely. Yeah. And as I said to you before this, you know, we found that there was a lot of entrepreneurs that saw the potential, wrongly or rightly, when COVID happened and they wanted to go out and make a fast buck. Tuition in London on average is about £59 per hour, which I just see as a sin.
Wow.
That's on average. So 41% of our client base is London based, and we operate online and face to face, predominantly online.
Yeah.
And our lessons are, you know, range the £30, and we use a range of tutors. They are highly academic. They're all interviewed by Linda and I. There's nobody else does the interviews, and the getting through rate is about 1 in 10.
Wow.
At what point do you, and at what age, because Georgia, you've done a bit of, had a bit of tutoring for Axel, haven't you? And he's obviously in year one. So, yeah. For example, what are you kind of looking for? And at what age would you start seeing the signs of a child who's potentially maybe a little bit behind their classmates?
So I mean, just to jump in, I chatted to Anna because Axel is the youngest in his year. So Luna and Axel are only like 3 weeks apart, but in school years, they're a whole year apart.
Yeah.
So I found when lockdown hit and he wasn't at school anymore, because I couldn't teach him because he wouldn't listen to me, I was really concerned that, you know, some of these kids already knew how to read and they already knew how to write. And he didn't, because he's only four, you know. Mm. And so I just didn't want him to not have the confidence. That was my main thing. I didn't want him to go into school and be surrounded by all these kids, feel like the youngest, feel like the smallest, feel like he was silly. That was it. So I chatted to Anna and she put me in touch with Lizzie, and I think Axel might have done like four sessions, maybe, right, maybe not okay. even four sessions. And it was just the confidence thing. Like,
yeah,
she worked with him and kind of just made him feel like he knew what he was doing, even if he might not have done. She just gave him the confidence. And I think that for me, that was why I thought it was a good time to do it, even though he was only in reception, but it was just the whole confidence piece.
Yeah.
And then since then we haven't looked back.
That's really nice. That's really great to hear, actually. That's
yeah.
a success story.
But
just going back to the original question, are there signs that we need to be looking out for? Let's just say like our reception children or our year one children. At what age should a child be reading, be writing their name, you know, in terms of vocab, words, all that sort of stuff?
At an early age, Zoe, it's very dependent on chronological age and development. You know, there was a huge study done about 10 years ago about boys in the early years and about the development of their wrists. So when boys say their wrists are hurting when they write, it's actually true. Right. The research suggested that. And there was lots of, you know, I heard teachers say, come on, you're lazy, keep on going. And you know, the development of the wrist was later than girls. I would look for, so very early on, phonological awareness, making sure that children are quite confident in the letter sounds, that they, you know, the beginning to form letters and mark make. I mean, we will always chat to parents. There are very, very clear online goals that children should be reaching, and the school will communicate those with you. I would always say, and it still happens because we've had four cases this week where sometimes, and I'm not critical of schools at all, I worked in them for 20 years and I'm a huge supporter of schools and teachers, but you need to know from the school and you need to be very direct in asking exactly where your child is, what, where they are, and what you need to do if there are any areas of development. And if I would invest any money, it would be in absolutely a diagnostic assessment of your child at a certain age, if you have any concerns, from somebody independent, if you don't feel reassured by school.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you say that, actually. And I was saying this to Georgia before we came on the podcast, and I'm wondering, yeah, Tamsin, if you have experienced any dyslexia through your years. But as I was super creative, you know, I my mind was, you know, all about my drama and my writing, my creative, but my dyslexia was bad and it wasn't identified until I was about 12. When I failed my common entrance, got pulled back a year, my friends went on, I was like, it was too late for me. They weren't almost, I think the kids are luckier now being at the schools that they're at, because, you know, they have those specific people. Like, they had to get a special dyslexic teacher from like 25 miles away from a different school to come in and give me 1 hour a week. And it was all just too late.
It's very timely what you're saying, because this is exactly what I'm doing now with my eldest. My eldest flagged it up to me, said that they'd been looking online and done loads of research, and Flo said basically they thought that they possibly had ADHD or autism. Now, if you're doing a lot of research on your own online, you know, you could pretty much say you've got everything, you know. So now we are actually going to a doctor to get an assessment, just so that the diagnosis will be a yes or a no, so they can move forward. And, you know, we've done everything we can, as opposed to waiting till they're 17 and then going, oh, that's why I didn't get it.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
So what are the signs for ADHD or autism? Because I know it's like, it goes undiagnosed in girls, yeah, a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can hear everything in a classroom. Over there, can hear everything. If it's not silent, can't concentrate. And if we go out to somewhere that's very busy and loud, the Flo can't cope at all.
Okay.
That really sounds to me like it's one of the symptoms. Yeah. I know for a fact that my 9-year-old is, you know, sociable, can deal with everything, but Flo can't deal with certain situations very well.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you've brought them up the same and they have present such different kind of challenges, I guess.
Yeah.
Hone into each one separately. I know for a fact that when I was growing up, I mean, there's no way in the world that those things would have been available to me. We're talking about in the 70s. You just get on with everything. You don't buy stuff. And, you know, we were the generation of the Moses basket back from hospital on the back seat. No seat belts, no car seats, you know.
Different world, Tamsin.
You know, you have to make a special effort, I think, to they're very, very aware and educated about development and being mindful. Mindfulness is massive. My kids go to a school where most of their teachings are about being kind and about developing what they're good at, as opposed to
I love that.
So it's where I wish I could have gone when I was young, you know, to be able to do GCSE photography or, you know, one of those, a subject that you know you're going to be into, not just history, geography, maths.
And you will thrive because given those skills for confidence, you know, the last school I worked as a head teacher, there was 25% of the school with special needs, and it got Sunday Times School of the Year on the results. I'd actually left the school by the time the results were published, and for the prior 3 years, it had been in the top 5%, top 2% in the country, and that was because the children. It wasn't on the academia. It was because the academia only came because those children believed they could do it, and they trusted and they respected the culture, and it wasn't name, shame, fear. It was on the ethos of exactly what you've just spoken about. And that's why we work with the girls.
And isn't it amazing that that's how far we've come, even in the years since, like, I mean, I'm 40 next year, and I feel like I was craving it at school. And Georgia, I'm sure you're the same, but although Georgia, you went to a performing arts school for a bit of the period, didn't you? So you kind of got that, but that now, you know, we understand that there has to be scientists and mathematicians and researchers and, you know, everything else that comes under the academia umbrella, but we also celebrate creatives, you know, graphic designers, actors, whatever it is that you want to do, you can do, and it's all celebrated. It's not like, will you stop mucking about in your drama class, please, and come and learn how to use a fucking Bunsen burner.
Exactly. Now people are actually respecting things as a career. It's not like the afternoon's drama, so therefore it's a muck about. Exactly that, Zoe. It's not.
Yeah.
Career out of drama. I'm living proof. Yeah. Tons of subjects that used to be seen as, oh, you could probably just say, oh, let's do that because GCSE, that's GCSE, but it's not really anything, is it? You know, and now to be taken seriously when my kids are like, my 9-year-old's like, can I please do the singing lessons at school that my other mates do?
Yeah.
Singing at an ordinary school, not a stage school. And they can do lambda, they can do singing, they can do drums, they can do guitar. I've got tons of friends that are musicians. They make a wonderful living out of it, but they're happy because they're doing something they love.
Yeah. I actually always try and sort of reiterate that to like my son Axel as well. So they have like spelling tests every week, and which I feel a bit uncomfortable about because they're 5, you know, they come back and they get whatever mark it is. And he's always like, oh, I got, you know, I got whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. Right. That's great. But Axel, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what you get. And you might be great at spelling, and the person next to you might not be great at spelling, but they're probably really good at something else. And then he's like, okay. And I think it's important because at the moment he's fine at spelling, but there's going to be a time when, you know, he might struggle because of one reason or another. And I guess it's about us as parents, like instilling in them that just because people aren't good at the traditional subjects, even if they are themselves or they're not, it's about having that understanding that it's, you know, you'll find your place, you know, you'll find your thing.
Find your place, exactly.
Yeah, you'll find your thing if you look for it.
I do think it's quite stressful. And I think maybe a lot of people listening to this, their kids will have started this year reception where your kids have gone from going to preschool, going to nursery, playing around, and then suddenly the reading books are coming back in the book bag. We've got, you know, phonics. I've got no idea what phonics are. We didn't learn. I'm sorry, I'm going to hold my hands up. You know, I got corrected by Luna the other day when I was like, ruh, and she was like, rrr. And I was like, no, no, it's ruh. And then everyone on Instagram went, it's not ruh, it's rrr. And I was like, why is it? You know, like, do you remember that? So like the whole side of it, it suddenly kicked on a level, even in the last like 2 weeks at school. And I feel like I've got to do a lot more at home with her, but she's going to have to lead the way because unless I do some sort of phonics like workshop.
What, you know, when we came home and did our homework, did you get helped with by your parents?
I can't remember.
I don't think I had any homework.
Well, yeah, but I think we went to school and then we came home. I don't feel like we came home and did loads of homework, obviously around GCSE times possibly, but I went to clubs, I went to drama and dance and did all of that. So I really feel like the pressure on parents now is really And whether it's a state school, a private school, as a kid, I went to both. When my parents couldn't afford it anymore, I then went to a comprehensive, and Jen changed about loads. But I just feel like the pressure on parents, and every parent feels it, to sit down with them and go through it all and understand it when you don't really have a clue what they're doing. And you could actually, I feel like I'm probably a hindrance. Like, it feels like there, yeah, there should be someone in the middle between school and parenting.
Also, to explain, you know what, there's two things as well, because a lot, you know, majority of parents at Axel School are like in a two-parent family, they're both working. That's the other thing as well, isn't it? So, you know, after school club finishes at what, like 6:30, 7 o'clock. And, you know, for a 5-year-old, they get home and they don't want to sit and do their spellings at 7 o'clock at night because they're absolutely exhausted. Shattered. And I think that's really difficult. And there's a lot of pressure. Because when do you do it? When?
You've got, and you know, a really... We've done some research about retention of learning, particularly in the early years. And those short, sharp bursts at school of something like Zoe was talking about phonics.
Yeah.
If you're doing those every day for 5 minutes, then that sets you up. There's a fantastic scheme that's used in some schools. And it phonics, and we laughed about it earlier, but it's so important, because if you've got the skills to be able to spell and to be able to sound out those words, it instantly gives you confidence. And that's one of the areas that I really worry. If it's not taught very well and not taught with a really good systematic scheme, it can impact speech, and it most certainly can impact confidence in children. Now, you could choose, you know, you could choose to, like Tam does, have a tuition session where you just focus on homework and that takes the burden off of you. Or you could do, you know, it's hard because in theory, it's never 5 minutes, is it, when you've got little ones, you know, to get the book out and to get them just away from
Kim to sit
doing.
Down.
Yeah, yeah. Sit down. And you know, it's not that, but... you know, there's these cards that are dead, really, really cheap. The Northern Girl in Me's coming out in the accent.
Are those the flashcards?
Yeah.
Yes.
Zoe, they're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And on the back, there's some really good ones that I can send you all the links for. But they're a fiver.
Yes, I need those.
If you have them, and I mean, with my girls, I used to just stick the ones that I saw in the book bag on the fridge. And on the back, it tells you, because it's actually very, very important what you're saying. Things have changed and progressed. I'm 42 now, from when we were in education, even in the way you teach children, and the pronunciation of the phonics is really vital. And we need help as parents, because, you know, you haven't been and done the course.
Yeah, we don't know.
No. Do you know what? Luna School's got a workshop coming up and you've just inspired me to do it. I'm definitely going to do it, because otherwise I'll keep getting called out by my 5-year-old and I can't bear it.
Phonics is at Carl Anna, Zoe. I love my phonics, and it makes a massive difference. Huge, huge difference to, if there's one thing, it's phonics and tables, and it's old fashioned. They are non-negotiables.
Okay. We've been told.
Learn them pro rote. It's the one time I'll be a head teacher. Absolutely learn them, because it is if children have those keys and those keys to give them confidence, they'll do well.
They'll thrive. Okay.
So when we were kids, we had to go, you know, 166. I mean, I was at a convent school, and so we basically used to sing it in the morning. But I still remember the sound of the tune of it. I still remember 6-6s and 7-9s, and it's because it was sung. So it struck with me that it was a bit more creative and wasn't maths.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, I think sometimes that schools miss a trick of how they teach stuff, because my kids know the most history from watching horrible histories. Mm. And the way that they teach is as a television program, you know, they know which king comes after which king because of the songs they teach in that they sing in horrible histories. So I really think sometimes that finding a way through to kids by making it more creative, or by singing something is kind of, it might be old fashioned, but it's kind of missing a trick in a way.
No, I love
making
that, Tamsin. Yeah, I love
exactly.
it. I feel the same.
Thank
what a
you.
Lovely chat, guys. Is there anything that anybody should know about Champion Tutor as a sign off, or anything that we can expect from you guys? I'm sure you've got exciting plans.
We've got really exciting plans. We're doing some consultancy work where I'm actually going to work with children myself on assessment. I'm going to, based on today, you've inspired me, Zoe, I'll do a little session on phonics.
Please.
And put it on Instagram. And you know, we've got lots of story time, lots of reading. We call it, Tam, don't we, a family, because that is so important, that ethos of, if you are absolutely peed off, you're sick of the constant pressures that are placed on you being a parent, just we would always urge you to phone us, and you know, we will be there, and we respect that not everybody has the money for tuition, but we'll always be there by the phone.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you, guys. So lovely to have you on. Tamsin, stay in your PJs all day.
Yes, so jealous.
Thank you.
I feel like I could have done with a tutor growing up. I had a tutor for about, basically to try and get me through my GCSEs, because I was flunking everything, and I was just like, I just want to perform or run around a sports pitch. And my parents were like, we haven't spent all this money on your education for you to be doing that. Can you like try a little bit harder? And I was like, okay, yeah. So I had like, you know, a bit of tutoring before that. I actually managed to pass some as a result of it. So I really do believe in it.
Well done. Do you know, my dad used to tutor kids in our class.
Oh, wow.
When I was younger. So he was, when we came back from Portugal, I came back and was a headmaster, but he didn't get to really teach, and he loves teaching. So he used to tutor like groups of kids from my class on a Saturday morning. And at first he used to let me join in, and then he'd tell me I was too disruptive.
Of course
and
you
I wasn't
were.
I wasn't allowed in the tutoring groups anymore.
No, so, banned from
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I was banned from my own dad's tutoring club.
What an accolade that is.
I know, don't. And then he said it's even worse as a head teacher when you get called into the school, like, because your daughter's been misbehaving. He's like, it's so embarrassing, you have no idea. Like, it's head teacher to head teacher. It's not okay.
I can imagine it. It's amazing he's still doing the job after you traumatised him so much with your behaviour growing up, George.
No, it was
great to talk to Tamsin and Anna. And actually, I thought it was really lovely just about that whole, you know, that a home should be a home, and that, you know, you should leave the schooling at school, and all that sort of conversation around not putting too much pressure on it all, and actually, you know, sometimes a little help goes a long way. And actually, what I really liked as well with their kind of trying to make tutoring accessible to everybody. And actually, yeah, maybe your child does need a little bit of extra help, definitely.
Yeah, and do you know what I was thinking as well? Because, you know, tutoring can be expensive, and, you know, not everybody is going to have, you know, the cash to be able to do it. There might be, like, I don't know, a neighbour or a grandparent or an auntie or an uncle who you might find that your child will sit down and do some, you know, do some maths with, or do some writing with, that they feel they have more of that relationship. Like, I know I can never get Axel to do any work with me, but if, you know, my granddad asks him to do something, he would do it, or my dad asks him to do something. It's like there could be other people around you that could help as well. Or like my older cousins, they will sometimes sit and stuff with Axel. And I think, yeah, it doesn't always necessarily have to, you know, you don't always necessarily need to pay for tutoring. It could be that there is someone in your, like, sort of immediate family or network that could help.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's so difficult as parents that, you know, we have to be everything, like, to our children. Mm. Especially when there's so much homework. God, can someone just ban homework? If you're listening and you're in politics and you like, you want to be the next prime minister, if you say we're going to ban homework, I bet you get so many votes.
Listen, we can only do what we can only do. And I think it's going to be a big, big, big learning curve in my schooling life part two with my children going through it, that I'm going to feel a constant pressure to perform and be, you know, the best parent. And I want everything to be okay for the kids, and I want them to be super duper. But, you know, we can only do what we can only do. And if there aren't enough yourself out. Yeah, like, you know, with being working parents, you know, it's a lot. So like, you're gonna have to coach me through this, because you seem very chilled. You're like 2 years in, I'm all right actually now. No, I'm cool. I'm not even gonna bother logging on and doing the maths homework. Fuck it.
Not bothering. Send me a letter. See what I
forward this one on to you. thank you as always for listening to the podcast, and thank you so much for all of your messages. And we love getting all your feedback and stuff. As always, we would be so over the moon if you could rate, review, subscribe, and give the podcast a little follow as well. Then you'll never miss an episode.
Yeah, that would be great. And if you want to join our petition to ban homework in the UK, then please slide into our DMs. We're on at Made by Mamas, and we will be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.